So it's good to see all of you out this evening. Our format is a little different than might be our norm, and we're actually going to hear from eight different guys this evening. I asked each one to think about a favorite verse or maybe a life verse and share with us why it's meaningful to them. So I know I am looking forward to hearing from everybody who's planning to share tonight. And before they come up or get started, I'd like to read one verse just to kind of set the tone. Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16 says, "Let the message of Christ, or the word of God, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So that's our goal this evening, to let the word of God really speak for itself and enjoy hearing what it means to each of these brothers who are going to be sharing. Let it dwell in us richly. And then, as the end of that verse says, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So I just encourage that perspective this evening as you listen and pray it's an encouragement to each one of you. Let's just take a moment, thank God for the time, and then we'll get started. Father, I want to thank you that we can enjoy your word freely and readily in our country. Thank you that it's available to us. I thank you that it's meaningful and that it's powerful. We look forward to hearing what you're going to show us this evening from your word. I just ask for a time that's focused on you with hearts that are ready to listen so that we can leave encouraged. Father, I think of Kevin and Faith this evening and the outreach that's happening at their house right now. We want to commit that to you and ask that you will lead and guide it. And Father, most importantly, I just pray that the gospel would be made clear to those that Kevin and Faith get to interact with this evening. I pray for your special help to them and wisdom for them. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so those eight of you who are sharing, you all know who you are. You have a list with your name in order. So what we're going to do is just get started. One can follow the other. No need for any stops in between. So Ben, I'll turn it over to you.
So I'll introduce myself. I'm Ben, for those of you who have a hard time differentiating between me and my brother. A lot of people actually think we're twins, but it's not the case. I am the older and better looking of the two. So yeah, I'm the one that sits back here with three kids and married to Sarah. We've been married for 6 years, and I'm sure some of you are like, whoa, three kids in 6 years. I know what his favorite verse should be. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And it's an interesting command. It's the first one that God gives us. And I'm not sure why that is, but the passage I decided to go with tonight was it's found in Genesis chapter 15. And I told Josh it was verse 1 through 8. It's really, there's a few verses in there that I particularly like, and they all kind of build off of each other. And I don't think you can really just pick one out, but it starts off in verse 1. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward.' And Abraham said, 'Lord God, what do you give me, seeing I go childless?'" And a few things to notice there. The first one is that this is the first time that Abraham sees God, the first time that he sees the person to whom he is speaking. Prior to this, spoke to him twice. He only audibly heard God. This is the first time he sees him. Second thing to notice is the person to whom he is actually speaking. It says the word of the Lord. And we know from the first few verses of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then says, "The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us." So Jesus is the one whom Abraham sees here, the one whom he is speaking to. And Jesus comes to Abraham, and he says, "I am your shield and exceeding great reward." And Abraham does exactly what I do when I speak with God. He forgets everything God just told him, and he starts asking for things. And I think Jesus probably had a grin on his face at this point because he knew it's something that Abraham doesn't. And he knows, he literally just told him what it was, but it was so great that Abraham couldn't see it. And Abraham's there going, God, when are you going to give me a son? When are you going to give me a legacy and a heritage? And Jesus literally just finished saying, Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm not your son. I'm not your grandson. I'm your great, 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 exceedingly great grandson. And this news was so great that Abraham, he couldn't comprehend it. And so Jesus takes him outside and he says, Abraham, look at the sky. Count the stars. And I find this cool to think about because we're told in Romans that all who believe and all who have faith, we are part of the family of Abraham. And so when Jesus told him to count the stars that night, he one of those stars that Jesus was pointing to was mine. He said, Abraham, that is your reward. Abraham, he still has, he looks the sky, counts the stars, and it says in verse 6, that he believed, and it was credited to him towards righteousness. And I think this is probably my favorite verse, not because of what it says, but because of what happens next. This amazing faith that Abraham has, the faith by which he is saved, the faith that we're told is the same faith by which we are saved. If you keep reading two verses later, Abraham is already doubting. And yet God credits him towards righteousness in spite of that. There's another verse I thought I'd share. It's found in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking about this conversation he has with Abraham here. And he's speaking with Jews. And he just finished up saying that if you believe in me, you will never die. And the Jews said, ah, now we know you're full of baloney. Because Abraham, he believed and yet he died. And so Jesus says this, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced the thought of seeing my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. And the word glad there, if you look that up in a Strong's or a blue letter, those two words, rejoice and glad, the word rejoice, it's kind of what we would say is excited. He was physically jumping up and down. He, you know, rushed the field and poured Gatorade on his coach type excited. The word they're glad, it's kind of an overwhelmed. He just stood in awe. And this is one of those verses that the more you think about it, the more you realize that our Bible is merely the children's story of the story of God. It doesn't begin to pertain the greatness of who God is. Because Jesus says, he says, your father Abraham, he rejoiced at the thought of seeing me. And when he saw it, he was glad. And I can't help but picture Abraham. He dies, and he dies happy because he received his reward. He received a son, and he trusts the promise that one day he will have a great, great grandson. And he's somehow Jesus says he's watching the events of heaven and earth unfold. He's watching history unfold. He's somehow privy to the things that are taking place, and he says, he saw my day, he saw me come. He saw the Christmas story unfold. He says, and when he saw that, I think he, in that moment, realized who his great reward was. And I think maybe we are a lot like Abraham. We will one day watch Christ come again. And in that moment, we will realize who our great reward is. And it'll look nothing like what we expected. And yet, in that moment, it'll all make sense. That's all I got. Thank you.
Good evening. The verse I chose today is Psalm 18, 1-3. Psalm 18, 1-3 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So there's really three parts to this verse. There's obviously verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. But there's the theme, the details, and the conclusion. So if you think in English class, when you're writing a paragraph or something, the first sentence in the paragraph is always the theme, and then in the middle of the paragraph, there are the details, and then at the end, there's the conclusion. So the theme of this passage is, I love you, O Lord, my strength. It says there, my strength. God is our strength. And so there's three details. God is our rock, God is our fortress, and God is our deliverer. So when I think of rock, I personally think of a rock outside, like in gravel, but that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about a solid and firm foundation. And also, there's a passage in Matthew 7 where there's the parable of the wise men, and it says, Jesus said, whoever listens to my word is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And I just think that God is our rock. It's amazing how we can just stand on him when we're in trouble. And so the second detail is God is our fortress. So when I think of fortress, I think of somewhere where we can hide when we're in trouble. When the storms of life hit us, we can go into our fortress, which is God, and we can have protection. And my third is God is our deliverer. When I think of deliverer, I think of a shepherd. And I also think of the parable of the 100 sheep, where one was lost and the shepherd left the 99 and went looking for the one. So when you are in trouble, God always comes to you. If you can't go to your fortress, God always comes to you. And the conclusion is, he will always help us. Verse 3 says, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So whenever we're in trouble, he always comes and saves us. I just thought of this verse just because it just struck me, because it was just a very, very, helpful verse when you're in trouble. And that's all I have.
When Josh asked me my verse, that was pretty easy. I always look to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that goes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And if you live long enough, you see how the Lord actually directs your path. And when I got out of high school, I thought I knew what I was going to do, because I didn't do too good in school. I didn't like school. So I thought, I'll just work like my dad worked and like my pap worked. And the Lord shut that door. I got laid off from being in heating and air conditioning, and I was like, well, maybe I need more training. So then I decided to go into the service. And so I thought, well, if I get mechanical, electrical training in the service, maybe I'll be better at that, because I wasn't doing too good without the training. So I went into the service, and it turned out that door was shut too. I was so colorblind, I failed the test to be in that part of the training. So I was like, well, what do I do now? Well, they said you can go in open contract. Open contract means they plug you in wherever they want to put you. So I ended up being in artillery, and I was sent out to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and it turned out I was first in my class. I've never been first in my class in anything, so the Lord was definitely guiding my path, and it turned out I was the only one from the class out of 50 guys to go to the East Coast. Everybody else went to California or Iwo Jima. So why would he just have me come to the East Coast? Well, here I had a Christian brother ready to spend the next 4 years with me in Camp Lejeune. And so then we ended up being on a ship for 6 months at a time, and you would think that would be a bad thing, being like basically stuck on ship for 6 months at a time. Well, the second time I was stuck on ship for 6 months at a time, they were offering college courses in the bottom of the ship, and I had to kill time somehow. So I took a college course, and I passed it, and that was the first time I thought I could actually go to college. So it's strange, when you trust the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. When we say trust in the Lord, that's not just to trust him to save your soul, that's to trust him with the direction of your life. So why do we lean on our own understanding? We think that our way is best, that we know how to handle our own lives. So I'm going to sneak in another one of my favorite verses. It's in Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So when I read this, I feel blessed, because if you're not smart, you can thank the Lord. If you're not rich, you can actually thank the Lord. If you're not strong, you can thank the Lord. So I have a lot to be thankful for, because I realize I'm below average in all the things that most people boast about. So it makes you less likely to lean on your own understanding. It's actually a blessing. It makes it easier to trust the Lord. If you don't understand it, you don't have to try to figure it out. You just trust the Lord. It gives me peace in every situation, because I know the Lord who is exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on my behalf. So when things happen in life, like why does my son have autism? Why did my dad die of cancer? Why did my cousin, who is my age, die of a brain tumor? Why is Gene suffering right now? I don't have those answers, but I know the God who does. And I can trust in the Lord with the things that I don't understand. And I can acknowledge my need for help and guidance every day and be thankful for both the things I understand and the things I don't understand.
I was thinking, I wonder how this is all going to tie together. Why do we doubt, right? Why do we doubt? I'm thinking of what has been said before me. I'll share here in a second the verses that I picked. And, you know, Josh said about a favorite verse, and I don't know that I have like a life verse, but I seem to jump around. Like, I have passages that I really like to read, and I read them over and over again, but I don't really have like a life verse. But anyway, the verses that I chose have a specific meaning to me. Many of you know that earlier this year I had lost my job, and as Dean was mentioning, you know, sometimes man's wisdom isn't the right direction possibly. So as I became, you know, getting closer to 62, I started to decide, you know, I need to make a change in what I'm doing. My job was very stressful, managing people, managing time, managing a business is difficult at times. So I found a way to, I actually got asked to help in another company where I could limit my stress and pretty much just, I was my own boss. I did whatever I wanted to. It was really good for the 4 years. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it was like, well, we don't really need you anymore. And I was really devastated with that. And you know, it's Will mentioned about the rock, the deliver, and the strength. And I think it takes a while as adults to really understand that and grasp it. And I have to admit, I think I may have done that with the loss of my job better than I ever have with anything in my life. You know, I was pretty calm about the whole thing. And I put it in the Lord's hands. I said, you know, Lord, whatever happens, happens. And as it turns out, I had worked at the employer that I'm at now, which is Williams Service. I was there for 17 years. And I was able to get that job back. It was offered to me to go back into the same position that I left 4 years prior to that. And I'm in the same desk, same office, the same files. I pulled up my email, it still works. I had 3,980 emails I had to answer. But, you know, it was amazing, and it has been good for me. I actually felt when I left, I made myself invaluable, if you know what I mean. I had a certain thing I had to do, and I did it. And that was really all that was asked of me. And it was, you know, it was nice, but I made no decisions. I had no responsibilities other than to just do some estimating and try to bring in work. So anyway, you know, when this all happened, I'll just give you their sequence of things real quick. That happened on a Tuesday, and I sort of thought about it a little bit Tuesday. Wednesday, I think I got up. Vicki went to work, and I got up. And I got on Indeed, and I thought, I'm just going to check and see what's going on out there. So I check on Indeed, and I'm like, I could do that job. I can do that job. I can do that job. And nothing really jumped out at me, and I went back outside and did some work around the house. So Friday, I worked outside in the morning, and at noon, I come in, and I get on Indeed, and the company that I had previously worked for 17 years posted a job on Indeed. And they posted it, I found out later, they posted it at 9 o'clock, and I saw it at 11 o'clock. And I wasn't sure what to do, because I left in good terms, and everything was fine. I liked my bosses. It just was, you know, making a change for my future, and I thought it was better. So maybe it wasn't. But I know the Lord has something that he wants me to do yet, and that's the way I'm looking at it. But the verses that I chose were these verses, and Josh read them this morning, in Romans 8, 38 and 39. You know, as we go through this life, it really doesn't matter what happens. I know as we go through, it's important to us at the time, but, you know, it matters. The future is what matters. It matters what we do with the Lord, as we heard about even previously to me. But these are the verses. 8, 38, and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If that isn't reassuring, that there is nothing that will separate us from the love of Christ, I mean, that really is all we need in this life. So that's the verses I chose, and appreciate everything that's been said previously. So thanks.
The verse I chose tonight was 1 Corinthians 9:25, and it says, all who take part in the games train hard. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Well, first of all, this was a verse that I learned in school, and it just really jumped out at me. So that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. And it's telling us that we can sacrifice immediate things to get eternal rewards in heaven. And the Christian doesn't just run the race to get to heaven. They run it because they're saved and they want to follow Jesus. And I like playing soccer, and it's a really fun sport, but it's all worth it in the end. Even as this verse says, they need to train hard, but it will still be worth it in the end. And earth and this earth will perish, just as the crowns that it talks about. The earth will perish and die, and but heaven will last forever, and we will be in heaven with Christ if we accept Jesus as our Savior. And that gives us even more the reason to follow him. And it's something that we can look forward to if we have accepted Jesus into our heart. So that's all I have.
Good evening. The verse I had is 2 Timothy 2. I really love this chapter because it kind of lays out what we as soldiers of Christ should, how we should live. And it's got a bunch of commandments here. My translation has a list. And list is, he is single-minded, strict, secure, sound of faith, sanctified, and a servant. And I look at that and I think, that's a lot of work. And it is, because when we do this, we wake up every morning, it's a battle, and it gets tiring, and it's a lot to suffer. The Lord does give us suffering, and he gives us a lot of trials. But these verses here, 11 through 13, tell us why we suffer this. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I love that verse because it reminds us, no matter how much we go through, that no matter what trials the Lord gives us, he, at the end of the day, when we finish that journey, when we see the Lord, it'll all be worth it. And everything that Lord, every trial the Lord gave us, we know it will be well worth the work. And so that's pretty much all I had.
Good evening. The verse I have tonight is from Hebrews chapter 1 and from 10 to 12. And I like these verses. Let me read them for you, please. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall become old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And I like it. A lot of this portion is, you know, I think about the creation. The Lord, it's speaking here of the Lord as being the creator, and some of his, the attributes here point to his wisdom. Dean read from Proverbs 3:5 about trusting the Lord, but in 3:19 and 20 it talks about the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he hath established the heavens. And the when we think about the things that are around us, his wisdom is amazing. It speaks of his power in Jeremiah 32. It says, "In all, Lord, I thought I could remember it here. It's amazing what coming up here does for your memory sometimes. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. There's nothing too hard for thee." And I think about his power here. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." His power is demonstrated in these verses. And in Hebrews 1:3, it tells us here, it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power." And then in Colossians, it speaks again that by him all things consist. He is the one that holds everything together. You know, sometimes, like Scott was saying and Dean, you know, we try to keep things moving and go in the right direction, but we really don't know what's best. And the Lord steps in and he orders our life, which is really neat. But here in this, we see him as a creator. And then it says concerning the earth and the heavens, they're going to perish. They're going to perish. They're going to pass away. And I remember working in a factory once, and I was actually up on a ladder above the ceiling, and I could hear these ladies talking down below, and one lady was really upset and concerned, and she says, "Do you think the world's coming to an end?" There was things going on at that time, and I don't know what the lady said, and I thought, here the Lord is in control. And I was thinking then, well, it's at least going to be at least 1,007 years before the world comes to an end. But I was up there working, so I didn't say it. But he is the one. He is the one that made the world. He is the one that's in control and in charge. And it's nice. It's nice to let it to him. I remember we were visiting. Donald used to go to Marple Christian Assembly down in Marple, down in the media area. And one Sunday there was one of our visits. There was an older lady there, and you know, sometimes us young people don't think much about old people, or you don't. You just pass them by, but sometimes some of them old folks have a lot to say that, you know, if you get talking to them about different things. And I don't know all the conversation, but she referred back to this verse. You know, her dad had a plaque up on, I think it was the dining room wall, and part of that, I think what it said on the plaque was, have a little trouble finding here, it's the wrong height. But what it says was, "But thou remainest. But thou remainest." And her dad, she was an older woman, her dad had gone, her mother had gone, rest of the siblings had gone. but she still had that plaque. And, you know, the Lord lived on. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was, she had put her trust in him, and he was still there for her. You know, everybody else was gone, but he was still there for her. And, you know, we read in other places, heaven and earth is going to pass away. And the Lord here is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. And it's nice that we have him that we can put our trust in and to put our hope in. I was thinking of Will's statement here about the rock. And, you know, as we think about it, the Lord remaineth. I was thinking of that song, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's going to be around when everything else is gone. And he's still in control. It's him that upholdeth all things. It's him that holds it all together. And, you know, we see change all the time. Some changes we don't like, but he never changes. His love is consistent. His love is always the same. So, but thou remainest.
Good evening. I appreciated the words that were shared from other brothers this evening. And as I was thinking about a verse to share, or a couple verses to share this evening, as I was preparing, I thought much like what Scott described earlier, maybe not having one particular verse or set of verses. And even this evening, as I was hearing other brothers share, just being encouraged by what they were sharing and how it was meaningful to them, and considering, do I have one more valuable to share than the one I have prepared for? So keeping to my notes, I do want to share kind of what's been on my heart as I've been considering verses or a set of verses that have been meaningful to me. So before I share the verse and the chapter and book here, I would like for you to consider for just a moment maybe a time in your life when you were sad. What was happening? Where were you? What was going on? And then as well, maybe consider a time when things were going very well, things were great. Maybe what was happening in your life? If you were young, maybe something happened at school that was exciting. Maybe you passed a test or graduated from a grade. If you're older, maybe it was something with a job or a promotion or meeting your future spouse, getting married. There are many times in our lives we have these emotions. Seasons of highs where things are going really well. It's kind of funny. We were speaking in our first meeting this morning about kind of our emotions and change, and I thought it reminded me of what I'm sharing here this evening, that, you know, sometimes we have seasons of feeling really good. They could be a couple days, a couple weeks, or maybe even a couple hours, and our emotions will change sometimes. And as I was thinking about this and just seasons of my life where I have highs and lows, my thoughts kind of brought me to Revelation in chapter 21. So if you can turn with me there, please, Revelation chapter 21. And the verse I'd like to focus on this evening is verse 4, but I'm going to read chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. So Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." So these verses, particularly verse 4, is a reminder for me that whatever season of life that I'm in, whether it's a season of great joy and happiness or a season of sadness, for whatever period of time that is, that we read here in verse 4 that the periods of sadness will be no more in eternity. And it says here, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Right? There will be no more of those emotions or feelings in eternity. And even more so, our greatest days here in this life can't even compare to our experiences and how we will feel in heaven. It's pretty incredible as we think about this. I think often as we read the Bible, there's examples and descriptions of what heaven will look like, and I feel like it's hard for us to picture those sometimes. We don't maybe have a frame of reference today with what we know and experience in the world to truly know how heaven will look, how great it will be. But I feel we are very acquainted with our emotions. And here, so in this passage, it's telling us these emotions that we won't be feeling anymore, these periods of sadness and pain here in this life. And it's pretty amazing. I was thinking about how this applies to my life. So I thought about it in context of opportunities I've had recently at work. So I've been thankful and blessed to be able to interact with those at work who are fellow believers just through the course of doing what I do for work and others doing what they do. We find ourselves in conversations about what we believe in, which is just exciting as well. Those seasons of highs when you can make connections like that in the workplace. And it's encouraging to me, and I hope sometimes when I'm in these situations I can be an encouragement to share that when a coworker of mine and I are going through a difficult season or a challenge with something in work, we can lean on verses like this. We can consider that these seasons of our lives of stress or sorrow are very temporary, and that we have a hope here, and we heard a little bit about hope even this evening from other verses that were shared, of what eternity will be like. And no matter how bad things are, we have this this book that tells us what we have to look forward to in eternity. So again, considering practical application for believers that we come across, in my example in the workplace, but also thinking about those who we interact with who don't believe. And I find it encouraging to myself, verses such as these, which somewhat forces me into a position where I'm uncomfortable, where I'm sharing something with somebody who maybe I know or have an inkling that they don't agree or don't know the Lord. But I can think about these verses and think about their destiny. So we have a hope as believers, but there are many people in the world who don't have a hope. And often they're trying to do all of these things to avoid what verse 4 says we won't experience in eternity. They're engaged in activities which are fun in this present world, or maybe activities that are destructive, but it makes them not feel these things. We can all read these verses and be familiar with these feelings. And I find myself both in times of encouragement with other believers who are going through a tough season, as well as having the courage in reading these verses to share with others who might not know the Lord, because they too can have a hope, right? They too can find themselves, as it says here in Revelation 21, in a new heaven and a new earth, and as it says in verse 4, where there will be no more sorrow and no more pain. So as I was thinking about this evening, I wanted to share those verses with you, so thank you for the time. I will turn the rest of our evening over to Josh.
So thanks to each of you for sharing this evening. I thought the Lord did a really nice job of organizing the thoughts for our encouragement. I would say that the Word of God definitely dwelt richly in our hearts this evening. And just looking back to that verse from Colossians that I read in the beginning, I want us to close with a song, number 66 in your green hymnal. You can pull it out. And while you're finding it, let me just quickly summarize what I heard. This is not in any way attempt to repeat the good words of the others, but to kind of just wrap it up all together. We started out in Genesis realizing that God has a perfect plan. All the way back in the days of Abraham, he had a perfect plan. We heard that God is our rock, our firm foundation. We heard that we can trust in him, not ourselves. We heard that what happens in this world is not important because nothing can separate us from God's love. We heard that the earth is not going to last, but what is done for eternity matters. We heard from 2 Timothy, therefore, we should live righteously. We heard that the same God who laid the foundations of the earth will remain the same. He's in control. And then we just heard that no matter where we are, it's only going to get better. Because in heaven, there's no sadness, and our best day here is nothing compared to what we have to look forward to. So that's a perfect quick journey through God's word tonight, isn't it? I hope it was encouraging to you. I know it was to me. And again, thanks to each of you who shared this evening. Let's sing our closing prayer this evening. Number 66, we're going to sing verses 1 and 3, and then you can be dismissed to the rest of your evening.